Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing to love God, to be in our mind, to love God, to serve God, to see things through. Because he's right here with us full time. God is full time with us. And he can cause a man to live a life of full-time ministry, even if he has a job or has to work or run a business or whatever, because God is wise in all that he does. Many times people want to stop working to be full-time pastors or ministers. They have a passion for the Lord and they want to do the work of God. But pastors have a job to do. Prophets, apostles, everybody's got a job to do. But when you hear a good message and you go to work and you live that message, you can live that message full time. See, God needs people in intricate places with the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And when you learn to think like him, you learn to appreciate him. Sometimes we let go of greater abilities and possibilities because we're narrowly focused on an aspect of ministry or an aspect of life, and it's bothering us that it's not like we think it should be, and we fail to see what's possible. Now this happened to me. That's why I'm saying it. You know, I used to think traditionally that I had to, when God called me to the ministry, I kind of dreaded it because I love what I do for a living. I didn't want to be a pastor. He didn't call me to be a pastor. He taught me a lot of things about being a pastor, but he didn't. One day I was coming off the interstate in Fairfield, and the Lord just started teaching me about pastoring the church. He said, a ministry starts when the pastor follows my, you know, when the pastor follows my heart. The ministry is founded on a core group of people that he selects. And that core, and see, you can't change the opinions of people that's coming in. They're going to come in unfiltered. But they will, when the core group is in place, the leadership of the church, they'll conform to it. And that's what the Lord was teaching me. Because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. So you have to have a pastor with a heart to follow God and people with a heart to follow God. That's the core group. The people can come in any condition they can be in. The core group's going to handle it. God's going to use them. And he's going to protect them and whatever. Don't worry about, you don't have to worry about what you're not prepared for. If you can yield to the Lord and not be afraid of sudden fear, you can get the job done with the faith that you have. This is why I found out the Lord is able to make the difference. If you need knowledge, first of all, it's a whole lot better when you fill your heart with the word. God has more to work with. If more Christians would just do that, they would learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit a whole lot faster and a whole lot better. And their lives would be much more refined, less problematic, more fruitful, more productive. All because they continually receive the word of God. One day my pastor said that, Pastor Jim III years ago, he said, we need to hear the word because we leak. Just because you received the word and you did, and you had enough word in you to survive the day and do something outstanding, tomorrow you may have leaked that out. If you don't know how to retain it, we leak. Life, living in this world, in this dirty world, you know, it causes the word to leak away. Now that doesn't have to. I want to put it this way. That's a true statement, and people, we hear the word, we train, we do it, we can have great victories. And then when the pressure's off and we won the battle and we go back to normal, you can forget about it. That's why in Hebrews just said, let us pay attention to what we've heard, lest at any time we let it slip. That is scriptural. We do leak. But when you continually fill in your heart with the word, see, also, one thing that causes us to leak, the way we focus. You can have everything going well and focus on one thing that's not right and worry about it, or you start absorbing the word, the strength. See, worry is a reducer. It brings you back to normal. You know, Jesus brought us up to the zero line, where Adam was, the zero line. You know, we live above negativity, but we still got a long way to grow from. When we're born again, we still got to grow up. Christ has to be informed in us. We grow from glory to glory. And when we're born of God, now we made it to the Father stage that John was talking about in 1 John. He addressed children, young men, and fathers. Mostly the young men and fathers. Young men because they were strong, and fathers because they know him. They know God. When Christ is formed in you, it's easier to retain what God has said. I used to wonder, how in the world do Kenneth Hagin remember all the details along the way of his life? Because he always talked about it as if it just happened. It could happen when he was a kid, when he was a teenager, young adult. He always consistently talked about it as if it just happened, with perfect memory. And whenever he referred back to something, it may be years later. It's the same story. Perfect. I said, how in the world does he do that? Well, as you grow in the Lord, you can. I remember things in detail that happened 30 years ago. You know, he was much older when I heard him than I am now. I'm 58. I heard him when he was in his 60s and 70s. And he could talk about what happened in his teenage years like it just happened. Well, I remember things that when I have turning point moments. I have so many turning point moments. You know, people that listen to me, you know two or three of them. You know when I almost got in the fight with Slim and I learned how to love. Then you know when I made the vow, God taught me something about business. I talk about, these are turning points. I remember where I was, where I was standing, what I was wearing. But I wasn't focused on that. I was more focused on what God said. So the thing is this. God loves us and he cares about us in every way, in every capacity. And he has a lot to say. We do have to maintain what we receive. But everything that I do, I learned to do it in his strength, in God's strength, not mine. I learned, you know, God's strength is greater when we know we're weak. The day I asked him, you know, when he helped me calm down by speaking a word, it taught me several things. He said to help, I was ready to fight my friend. I was upset. I was going to fight him. I was mad. And the Lord said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. The word charged me. It strengthened me. The spirit of might. While I was collapsing, God stood me. I gained a revelation of what it is to do things in God's strength. If you want to be strong for any occasion, find the word and fill your heart with the word. And the Holy Spirit will alert you to what to study. You know, I don't just pick a book and read it. I say, Lord, what are we doing today? And he'll get, most of the time, he'll give me Genesis. He'll give me Isaiah. And then sometimes Jeremiah. And every now and then Ezekiel. And he's showing me concepts that I need is relative to what I'm doing now. Sometimes, one time he had me study in the book of starting at 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles. And I would listen to it. Every morning I'd start at 1 Samuel and I'd make it all the way to 2 Chronicles. And the next day I'd start over. This went on for 3 months. And he taught me about people. See, the Lord has a protocol. That doesn't do away with the New Testament just because he got me in the old. He's given me concepts that I needed. And remember something. The New Testament, the Old Testament is full of New Testament scriptures and applications. Because that's what the apostles used. They used the Old Testament. They preached out of the Old Testament much more than they did the New because they were writing the New. Just like we're writing Acts now. We're living the book of Acts. These are the days of Acts. Your sermons, everything that you do, it's just not written down for everybody to read. In a way it is, in a way it's not. It's not written down in one book that everybody can go and buy and read about. But it's readable because everything we do is recorded. Not just by man, not just by Satan, but by God. Everything we do is recorded. Every thought, everything we speak is recorded. And everybody, when you're around people, I put it this way. People know what you do. They know what you say. They know what you do on a consistent basis. And because they have a memory. Everybody's memory is a recorder. Whatever you do, the Lord taught. I was praying in the Holy Spirit. I was taking my children home one night. And I was praying in the, Holy Spirit. On the way back, the Lord gave me the interpretation. I even wrote a word about this. I said, Lord, what was I praying? And he said, he told me I was praying for my daughter because I found out she had Crohn's. Then I was praying for my audience. Now, this is where I'm getting to. I said, my audience. He said, those are the people that see you every day. You're praying for them in the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was helping my spirit pray what was most relevant in my life. I'm like, wait a minute, teach me about this, Lord. What is my audience? He said, they're the people that's around you watching you every day, the people you interact with, and you were praying for them. And, this alerted me to the fact that, we need to be about our Father's business. You may have a job. You may be in school. You may own a school. You may own a business. You can still be a full-time minister. you're not limited at all. People think, well, I'm not doing this. The pastor gets to preach and I'll never get to preach. You get to preach every day. Receive what God is giving you from your pastors. But you relay the message. Your fellow yokemen and women, you help relay that same message you got from your pastor to others. This is the love of God and the wisdom of God. See, some people say, well, I want to be God's best. And I want to hear him say, well done. I want to be the best preacher ever. That's... In a way that's good, in a way that's bad. I put it this way. We all are important, and we all need each other. That's just how it is. And if you don't believe it, life will point it out for you. But this is the thing, though. This is something greater. I want everybody to do the best they can do. I want to do all that's in God's heart, all that he would have me to do. I want to make an A+. And doing whatever he gave me to do. And I want everybody else to do better. See, I don't want to just slap Satan upside the head. I want to knock him off his feet. We are a body. And I want the body to be just like Jesus. Whatever it takes for the body to be just like Jesus. And I would love to be an effective man of God. And I would love for all my brothers and sisters to do much or much. An exponential multiplied strength that was better. I mean, it's just, that would be wonderful because people would be more godly. We grow from glory to glory. Nothing in the kingdom of God would be wasted. Nothing in the kingdom of God is lost. And when you break through, when God gives you revelation, it's your job to get that revelation where he wants it to be. That's our living responsibility, or the revelation won't do its job. And sometimes when the Lord said, "Let not my people lack knowledge," I said, "Lord, how in the world am I going to, I don't know what to do." I couldn't begin to know what to do. But guess what? When you're weak, just like when I was at my wit's end and I was collapsing God's word, he spoke a word and it charged my heart. That taught me something about his word. His word can cause you to stand where you would normally collapse. You don't have to get to a weak point to be strengthened by him. But I also learned to do everything in his strength, not my wit, his knowledge, his counsel, his direction. You know, if you compare what I see, all I can see is what's around me. I can't see over the mountain and hills. I can't see what's coming in the future. I can't see traps that the enemy set. But I can pay attention to the Lord who's looking at all of this. So when you learn to live by his strength, you outclass Satan. But if you try to be a macho man, if you try to be a superhero, you're going you know, Superman could save the day. Well, one day at one moment, one problem at a time, he ain't God. And we're nothing like, if that's all Satan wants us to do, is to attempt to solve our problems without God. Because then we're outclassed. But if we follow him, he's outclassed. If we follow Jesus, Satan is outclassed. So that's where I learned to live. And every problem, every moment of every turning point moment that I enjoyed, I sought the Lord about how to do it. He said to me, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. And I had already suffered loss because I leaned to my ways. I said, I got to learn how not to do that. And I said, what else am I missing out on? So I acknowledged God. I went back to Proverbs chapter 3. And Carolyn Stevens used to read that scripture every Sunday for years. And that word got in my heart. That's one way that I ended up learning how to follow God. And Elder Lewis would always get a message from the Lord. He wouldn't preach unless the Lord gave him a message. I don't even remember him doing series. God would always give him a message, and he'd preach it. So I learned to do that. And sometimes God would do give you a series type teaching. But I always yield to him. And you'll be surprised how reluctant people are to do that. They can't give God the keys to the reins of their heart. They can't give God the reins. They got to hold on to the reins. They can't let God hold the reins. They want to hold a check. They don't want to release that blank check to God. They want to write a small amount. And they'll hold on to most of the reins. But see, when you give God all the reins, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say. Now, you outclass Satan. God will give you the best wisdom. He will evaluate everything. And what he give you, you'll be able to handle it at that time. You can always grow up, but you won't make as many messes. And Satan, all he wants us to do is try to figure it out and do what we think is best. Then that's an outclass ministry. And God can't give it a greater sanction. He can only sanction those who follow him. Well, he can sanction you for something that you can master. But it's nowhere near what he could do if you fully yield to him. Now, all of my turning point, I learned an aspect of following God every time I had a turning point moment. And they're relevant. You know, learning to do things in his strength and not ours, that's a big milestone for any man. Women are more apt to begin to do that, but they don't. There's a challenge that comes with everything you learn from the Lord. You have to learn to be a warrior. And I want to say this, and it's something I found to be true. I've seen a lot of revivals forming, but because people were not fighters, they always collapsed. Not because they didn't love God, not because they weren't true, not because they weren't truthful people, not because they didn't worship and pray. It's because they did not know how to do warfare. And they only made it as far as they did with the ability of warfare that they had. And Satan would use simple things to make the whole thing go down. Somebody would want it to go a certain way, and they'd get upset, and they'd start a problem, and then it'd scare everybody, and then everybody just back off from what was, and the enemy wandered around. That's what happens when people do things in their strength. Anytime your focus change, you change. You have to have God's wisdom in every stage of ministry. Some people master the poverty stage or the beginning stage. There's no poverty in the kingdom, and there's no poverty in obedience. So what I mean by the poverty stage, you just come out of poverty. You begin it. You don't have much to work with, limited resources. So you seek the Lord, miracles happen. You sell donuts, cakes, whatever you have to do to keep the doors open. And you get a job, whatever you have to do, you do what you got to do, and it multiplies. Okay. And then at that stage, you're looking to the Lord because you don't have enough to work with. So he makes the difference. Things are going great. More people come. People are attracted to things that's breaking through for whatever reason. Not all good reason, but some people want to watch it. Some people want to get in on it. Some people want to look good. And some people just want to love God. And they get inspired. But you attract everything. Because the enemy sent people to shut it down. Just like God sent people that want help. You know, there are tares among the wheat. All the devil's children are tares. But the ones that are among the wheat, that's the ones you got to deal with. So when they become outclassed, when they can't fight, when they get to the limit that they don't know how to, that they're not trained to fight, that's where the church will stop. And then when and it can't go any further unless you break through some more. When people look to the Lord, they'll receive the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength, the might. And they'll break through. That's just the way it is. But they have to keep doing that process. Also, when you prosper, the enemy is slick. He's like an oily politician. He said, I can change their focus now. They're trying to manage money and keep it in the flow that it's going. It's good. You buy better things, better homes, better equipment. And people tend to relax in luxury. But see, you can't do that with Satan. You have to keep him under your foot. It's not a struggle to do that. You just have to. The easy way to do that is fill your heart with God's word and watch him. If you can keep your eyes on the Lord, no matter what, he'll show you what to do with prosperity. Prosperity is a stage of life that most people are not trained for because they never had it that way. So you really need to look to the Lord in prosperity and ask him to show you how. Now, you can mess up money fast. You know, just think, you can do whatever you want when you want because you have means to do it. But that doesn't mean, see, wise people, they do what's best. Unwise people do what they want to. And, you know, you govern. You have, everything has to be governed. And even if you're trying to prosper and you have the means to prosper, you have a business, you have it. I've been that way. You cannot live beyond your vision. So the word of God strengthens you another way. It gives you vision for the prosperity. When the Lord taught me about the cycle of life, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That's five steps. Now, he's talking more to Adam about just having children. Be fruitful. You can isolate it this way. Be fruitful as a man. Be productive. I said, Lord, what's your definition of being fruitful? He said, to prepare yourself to give profit. Everything that comes to you is to serve man with it. multiply. We're commanded to multiply. That's a commandment. These are the five commandments of life, not the Ten Commandments for the lawless, but this is the five commandments of life. Then he said, refill the earth. Just like Adam was supposed to fill the earth with people, as we multiply, we're supposed to refill things, replenish things that's not there. Because everything we do enters the kingdom of God. When Israel left Egypt, they took their livestock with them. Not a hoof was left behind. Everything that your house, your car, everything is to serve man. Your home is for you to serve your family so that you can have rest, a place that everything you have can be used to serve God. Your home, your car, your everything your family enjoys, it comforts you, it helps you to recharge so that you can be productive. Everything has a purpose. It's just how you see it, how you use it. But nevertheless, when you replenish, you're enabling people to do what you did. And the business, whatever it is, it continues to develop into God's perfect will. You subdue it. You have to be a fighter. You don't let the devil come shut it down. Your core group is in place to keep it strong. And we do that by doing what Jesus taught. We love everybody. We take time with people. We're patient with people. We work with people. We help people. We inspire people. Those that are weak, you help them become strong. If they don't have money, give them CDs so they can become strong. Assets. They'll begin to do what you do. Then you have dominion over it. You oversee it, keeping it. And God's going to help you with every stage. All these things are very important. Managing what God has given us by His wisdom, not ours. By His strength, not ours. Don't use your strength. You got plenty of things to use your strength on. Your work is where you use your strength. Your work. But His work, you use His strength. My daily work, your daily routine, use your strength. His work, His strength. In life, solving life problems, use His strength, not yours. The priests wore a garment that didn't produce sweat, representing the fact that they were not working. Our righteousness of Christ. Our gifts from Christ. Our calling, Christ gave it to us. Our office, Christ gave it to us. The Holy Spirit manages it. Our anointing, the Holy Spirit manages it. We yield to Him, we do better. I don't know another way to do this. When a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways, God said. In this broadcast, I wanted to also share something. Yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned about when Henry Groover talked about remitting sins. I couldn't find the scripture. And I found it. I wrote it down. And I went and got it this morning. Sometimes there's going to be times when people have revelation that you may not be familiar with. That's fine. That's because the body's working. But listen to these scriptures. This is Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 through 23. Hopefully I'll do it before the time runs out. Now listen to what the Lord, listen to the wisdom of God. He said, if one be found slain in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who has slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an heifer, which has not been wrought with, which has not been worked with, and which has not drawn in the yoke, and which has not drawn in the yoke. They never did any work. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto the rough valley, which is neither ear nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priest and the sons of Levi shall come near for them, and the priest, let's read that again, verse 5, and the priest, The sons of Levi shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people, Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of it, unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies,